Well, it's a great joy to be here this afternoon on this, it's a special, very special day, a confirmation service, especially for all of you. But together, I'm sure, with all your others who are here, either as your family members or your friends, to here to share with you and to witness and to urge you on, so to speak. And this afternoon, as I'd just like to take a thought out of the epistle reading just now from Hebrews, that very longish but very important chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Would you please turn back with me to that? Now, needless to say, I'm sure a very cursory reading of it were a word or concept will stand out very clearly to everyone. Is the whole thing about by faith. I think that's at least 18 times, and if last another two times it's mentioned about faith in another wording. So you can say that the whole chapter is almost marked with this thing about by faith. And so this afternoon, I'd just like to share that with you, and because we are all on a journey. If you are Singaporeans or residing in Singapore, I'm sure you cannot run away for all the talk about bicentennial. The journey. And many of us probably don't know what is called Tongkang or, you know, all those big boats. Well, it's an opportunity for you to just go down to many so-called, you know, exhibitions and all that to see. Without that journey, there won't be us today. And maybe won't be a journey, no matter how fast it is in the days to come. But it is a journey. But as Christians, I think if we are honest, that there's a tendency, knowingly or unknowingly, to narrow our faith, the key words, key themes, and key thoughts. So you like some might like to call theology. Into very narrow confine. If it is not no relevance to me, it doesn't touch me at all, I can know, but it is not that important. I'm sure you know that in many things in the world today, once we grab it good, the tendency is to privatize it. To individualize, I know personalize things in order is very important. But make it so individualistic, because we are still using Christian terms, we're still using the name of the Lord, Father and Son. Does it therefore necessarily make it biblical? I think it's a tendency today. And today, this reading from Hebrews chapter 11, because when we say have faith, I was just back with a friend overseas and staying there, and then the pastor's wife was advising a younger Christian, you must have faith. When we say faith, it's always on a very narrow basis. If I need something, I pray to God, or if I lack something, I pray to God, have faith, and He will promise you. It's true. But is that all? And so reading the scriptures today from Hebrews chapter 11, as I said, just taking that as a historical marker, by faith, by faith, by faith. The danger of abstracting this very important thought or theme, which we tend to do, because we always like to simplify things, right? There's a need in the world today when things are so complex, make it easy. Give me 3 points. Even in what you do in business, I don't want to read long reports, just give me a one-page executive summary, which is correct. But then there is always a danger, if you are not aware that out of the executive summary, a lot of people has to put in so much hard work. And if you don't have enough background, you just live on that, it can be very shallow. And you just pick what appears to you and miss the point altogether. I think there's a challenge that we have to, because whether we are Christians or any other faith, any other cultural context, you are not living in a vacuum. You will be shaped and pulled and, you know, by the world, the environment that we are in. So how can we Christians continue to live in such a context in the world, which will become more and more squeezing? I just came back from overseas trip night, and one thing which happened very, very naturally today at this age, I forgot to bring my handphone. So it was a luxury to live without a handphone, but that was a struggle. For about 5 days I was away, and when I came back, one of the things I saw, said my old classmate, we were together in the 60s, and classmate, my friend, he said, you know, the world is just arguing a lot about 5G. He says 6G is on its way. It's the compression of time. If 5G, I don't know about 5G, is apparently 100 times faster than 4G. He says 6G, I won't say how many times. But so unless we ourselves are confident living in this very real world and yet have an identity, a confidence of who we are. If not, either our belief, our faith values, or for that matter, any other group of people will be squeezed and secularized, so to speak, to be like the world. More reflective of the world than anything. But the danger, the word, a sad thing is that you use the name of God and Christ to sustain that. So this afternoon, as we at the beginning of a year, so to speak, and Singapore, we are caught in this by Sentinel. Well, at least there are now a group of people beginning to say, no, our journey was only 200 years. But that makes a group of people very uncomfortable. We thought we were 200 years. We thought everything was there, you know, everything, and then we have the so-called Great Britain behind, you know, to confirm everything. It's very, you know, to be disrupted is not comfortable. But then some people would be so happy we have at least 700 years, maybe even more. And therefore, it's a challenge to us, as I said, as a look at this year that we are in. A lot of reflection will be going on as Singaporeans, as people who choose, making a decision soon, whether you want to settle here or not, take up that oath. But what about those of us who are here? So because of time, we can just focus on a section of this chapter. As I said, the markers of at least 18 markers by faith, by faith, by faith. Now, if you take it, because we cannot be over specific in how long it will be when we talk about, say, from the time of Abel, from the time of Enoch, Noah, but on more confident grounds is from the time of Abraham, of course, Moses. And from the time to the time of where the New Testament was written, so to speak, if you're talking about Abraham, Moses, you're talking about over 1,000 years. So instead of compressing, which is okay, nothing, we cannot live by just, you know, everyone going to the library to spend 3 years and then come out with one sentence. But the danger is that we forget that our faith, the words that we use to sum up, to express our, those important things, our pillars of our faith, has that deep history behind, and which has been tested, which has been even torn to the brink, pushed to the outer limit. And yet, if it could stand the test of time, not just for one generation, but to be passed on. And I think I like to, that's what I think that the passage this evening will help us, because you and I, we are continuing or beginning on a new journey. And so it's important that you, as you embark on this journey, that you won't get lost. We've seen many. I've seen a lot of my friends. We grew up together in the 50s, going to church, very active in Sunday school, Bible study, and things like that. I'm not saying I'm better than them. It's only by God's grace I'm where I am. But maybe have some have found that it's boring. They don't see the relevance. They were very active before, and yet, you know what I mean. So how a journey that you cannot avoid, every one of us has to make, whether with or without faith, but together as a people with faith of one or another, you have an added so-called challenge that living in a world which is becoming more and more squeezy, so to speak, and yet how to continue as a people with a faith. Different values, different principles, so to speak. And so this journey is something I think living in Singapore gives us a good opportunity, because whether you like it or not, the bicentennial is causing everyone to reflect. I hope we won't be lazy. And so it's nothing to do with me. I have more important things to be concerned, because no one can be divorced from the context that they are living in. And I said that the journey, you must not be overconfident that you will always know where you're going. Or end up, yeah, you will end up somewhere or other, but make sure that you are ending up the right place. You know, you can land on a different island, like those sea explorers, they thought they found India, but they were on the other side of the world. As we look at some of the more established nations or civilizations in the world, without being critical, I think I do feel, because I have many friends in England, they're confused, sorry, Richard, about Brexit. A journey of in their nation for hundreds of years, they were so established. And now coming to a point now where really they do not know where to go. In my conversation with friends from over, they said, please don't mention this again. It is so painful, they say. Supposedly to one who has established certain development or civilization market for the whole world. And yet, even in the States. So that's what I said, you know, be careful. A journey everyone has to embark. But if countries even of such established and achievement and all that can end up today in such a situation, what more as individual? So this Hebrews 11, I hope it can give us some sort of guidance and encouragement. A journey of faith, of life, life's journey by faith. But if I like to just expand a little bit, not just faith in vacuum. Because sometimes we can say faith is as though you screw yourself up and just believe and keep on believing. And that's called faith. But if you look at this, and we're focusing only on verses 8 to 22, focusing on four persons, at least on four stages of this journey of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, that is already a few hundred years. In some of the most difficult times, even before the establishment of the biblical so-called faith in Mount Sinai through Moses. So here, it gives us some, at least some indications about what faith ought to be, at least lived out by this group of people. And then let that speak to us and so that we can clarify and whether our faith is on the right track as what the scriptures would want us to be through the lives of these people. So it's never faith in abstract or just as you believe, as though there's no foundation to it. Here, the life journey, someone we all have to make. But if you were to look at verses 8 to 22, if we could just highlight 4 points. First of all, this by faith issues in obedience. So there's no such thing as faith without obedience. Now, if you are not too comfortable with that, could I just refer you to the great letter of Romans, where many people just abstract Romans to say it's salvation by faith. That's it. But Paul, in that great letter to Romans, in the very first chapter, chapter 1, verse 5, and he says, recount his calling, his ministry, what he was asked to do. And there in somewhere towards the end of verse 6, he says, and to bring, I have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. So it's not just faith. Faith has to be seen in the life of obedience so that you can actualize, embody things which is just in abstract, where people can see and hear and touch or even be challenged or corrected. So if that's not enough, Paul seems that this was his concern, that on the other hand of his great letter, Romans 16, as he ends in the doxology, and he says, now who is to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings had been made known to all nations. And then he says, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. So, the first thing out of this journey that we've seen in Hebrews 11, and picking up from Paul, and so in verse 8, they say, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place. Of he was not told which exact location. So without obedience, it's hard to say it's biblical faith. Because you must give concreteness, give life, give substance to all this. And secondly, by faith, it's not just obedience. The further challenge is a seeing faith, so to speak. If you say, if you have faith, you don't need to see. I don't know whether that can stand up to the scriptures. Of course, there will be moments. But what I'm trying to say, I think the scripture is trying to tell us that, yes, a person can do that because there's a history of faith, which enable you to even at a certain point of time or certain issue, not without seeing. But don't think that you are the measure of things. We stand on the shoulders of these spiritual giants who have paid their price. So Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place, and he went out. And scripture says, not knowing where he was to go. So you see, faith is a very, very scary thing almost. It's going to disrupt you, going to pull you apart. And say, if you have faith, you don't worry. I don't think it's honoring Abraham to say he has not faith enough. When he went out in obedience, he didn't even know where he was going. That's called faith. A faith which has to be practiced, which is put into his life through obedience. Maybe he has some semblance of certain thing, where to go and all that. We don't know. Scriptures never say that. But then it just says he has. The second thing in verse 14, it says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking forward to. Now, I think it's very enriching to live a life where you can telescope or to have at the same time a perspective of the past, present, and future. You don't live only for today. It's too narrow. And you also don't only live in the past. Don't be too old-fashioned. The world has changed and will continue to change. And this seeing is not just very micro or locked into a perspective. But when built on this history and journey the forefathers have walked through, when you accumulate them, you know you want to go far, you must know how far you come from, right? So here he went out, he was looking forward. Well, at the end of Abraham's life, I don't know what he has to look forward to when he was asked At the other end of his story, in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord said, Abraham, bring this man, your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and offered him. That is by faith for Abraham. I don't think it's dishonoring him. In fact, it would be dishonoring him if we think that Abraham knows everything. It was a real, real challenge. And yet his faith tested him, pushed him to the ultimate. Because at this point of time, he and Sarah, humanly speaking, has gone beyond the age of conceivement. Even giving birth to Isaac was already a breaking of the norm, let alone now. And yet, not only he obeyed to God out initially, but at the end of his life, he was asked to offer up Isaac. And so in and through all this, the scripture was able to say, as it takes a look back from the perspective of the writer from the epistle to Hebrews, he was looking forward to a city that has foundations. That's what I call telescoping. Telescoping of perspective. And I think the writer in Hebrews was not dishonoring Abraham, but he was building on that. And now with the coming of Christ, as the Hebrews was talking, the great high priest, the perfecter of everything, that you can look back to give that affirmation and confirmation all that he has believed. And so he went forward for a city that has foundation. The designer and builder is God. Now, I know designing and building is a big, big challenge today. How to build something which can withstand tsunami? How can build something Singapore is already in regulation, right? Build 4 meters above sea level or something. Well, it's good. Maybe the 10 years down the road, our government has said build 5 meters up. You know what I mean. In life, you have to keep on adjusting. But there's only that much you can learn to change. You know, changes, some you will win, some you will overcome, some is just beyond you. That does mean to say that by faith, and you will have no problem. That's not honest to the scriptures. So here you can see, you know, there's a telescoping, which is possible because there's a history. And there's a climax of fulfillment with the coming of Christ. And therefore, you can look at the past, the present, even in the future, when you are not aware of what is going to happen. You have the confidence because you're looking to something which will be designed and built by God. The foundation was laid by him. I would encourage you, as you begin, take this service where you are confirmed, you're bring yourself before the Lord to confirm and embark on this journey. As I said, it's a journey is going to be very challenging and very difficult in the days to come. Sometimes I don't know whether it's good to be old, retired, or younger people. You know, we say, thank the Lord, at least we are free from all the struggles of all these modern gadgets. But our younger people have to learn with it. The children in schools don't know what will happen in their days. What do we have to offer them? And what do you have to offer your friends and others along the journey? So when Abraham went out by faith, but it was in obedience. Lock, stock, and barrel, he has to move on. And so much so, in verse 16, he says, but as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Now this is a bit very unusual. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. We have been singing, the Lord is great, right? For the God to be not to be ashamed to be called their God. This guy must be doing something extraordinary. If not, you don't. How could God not be ashamed? So it's not those petty little things that, you know, you need this, you pray, you get blessed. But here is his own very future, now to the only line of Isaac, to offer him up. God was not ashamed to be called his God. I hope this will be our challenge. Just imagine this great God we have been singing. Would he be ashamed of me, of you? Would he be proud of us? Not those small little things, you know, but things which is beyond. Even whatever challenges that the modern world can bring to us in the days to come. And yet, we are steadfast. Not because of ourselves, but we stand in the history of all this. I can look back to Abraham. I can look back to Jacob. I can look back to Joseph. I can look back to Moses and all that. And he adds on. Even though I might not have, but they will encourage me, say, we are in the same lineage. So much so that at the end of the day, wherever we are, whatever happens to us, may the Lord say these words of the scriptures in verse 16, he is not ashamed to be called our God. The question is whether we are ashamed that he is our God. So on this journey, we will continue. But it's not, it didn't start and end with Abraham alone. So as you go down, there seems to be a pickup in the movement of time. In verse 20, you see, by faith, Isaac. By faith, 21, Jacob. And 22, by faith, Joseph. So rushing on. But don't let this, you know, deceive you. Because what Abraham has been through this, the call to Abraham was go and leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, your old, what you have been familiar, your comfort zone, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying that we all must migrate. Thank God, and I was with my friend this time, they felt very, we were talking of Abraham, they felt a bit guilty. Should we have migrated? I said, that's not the point, don't worry. You know, because wherever you are, even though physically you are not away, your heart is not here. It's not any better, right? But you see, it seems to be a rushing on because he cannot, if he wants to, it's the whole scripture's history. But when you look at Isaac, the command to Abraham was to go, to leave. But to Isaac, the time of famine, that the command was stay. So the obedience of Abraham and Isaac was different. But it makes no difference. And he says, stay here, remain here. And if you read Genesis 26, the testing of Isaac was not easy, any easier than Abraham. You know, in a desert place, water is almost life. And you look at the story of Isaac, it's always overlooked because only almost one chapter given to him. But you see, he dug a well and the enemies came and was pushed back. Is he a weakling, a useless fella? We've no time to go into that. So he was retreating step after step. But towards a certain point, suddenly those who were pushing him out further and further came to him with his general, with his counselor. And Isaac was lost. Why do you come to see me when you hate me? And they, out of the blue, they say, we see the Lord has been with you. It was because Isaac was obedient to remain and not to run. Even at his expense of his life. I really don't know how much he's lost in the process, but towards the end, it was his people, those people who were pushing him out, say, we see that the Lord is with you. We know now we know that you are the blessed of the Lord. Isaac would say, I've lost everything, and you say that I'm blessed of the Lord. But that's a different form of seeing, right? So don't think that when you see, you're really seeing the right things. But when you know how to see, you're seeing the real thing. So by faith, Isaac, it says, he invoked future blessings. It was only after all this that he could bless other people. If you're not a blessing, how could you bless people? So although we know that at his old age, Isaac was also sort of fumble, right? He was taken in by his son, Jacob, you know, and the conflict in the family. So by faith, it's not a smooth ride altogether. Even though by faith, Isaac remained, he could bless his children, but the family was having a lot of volcanic experiences. So they have to work through all this. Life is never smooth sailing. But if you write this off as your Christian life, then you have to ask yourself, are you biblical enough? But our God is great is because in the midst of all this sort of problems, breakdown, dysfunction and all that, God is still there. And he's still able to inspire those very concerned person, in this case Isaac, to rise above. Even though he might not know the end story, because it's to continue. And then after Isaac, in verse 21, it says, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. But if you know the story of Jacob, we always say the great rascal, because his very name is rascal. I was just in Egypt, and many of these people, I think if you take a survey among Christians, not many people is named themselves Jacob, right? I don't know why, but my Muslim friend, many would call Jacob. One of our ministers also Jacob, right? I said, do you know what it is? Well, maybe it's a blessing not to know. But it jumps to the end of the story of Jacob when he could even at dying bless his children. But you must know the story behind. That he was a good-for-nothing rascal. He took advantage of his brother and got the birthright. Okay, you say this is business. Fair enough. But then you know the trouble behind. Although it was, he has no backbone of his own, but as his mother packing, you listen to me, my voice, right? And went in to hoodwink his father, trying to make himself to be felt like, smell like Jacob, like Esau, and got the blessing. And leaving only the secondary or maybe less blessing to Esau. So Jacob has to run away. Of course, he thought it was a safe haven to his uncle's home. And he prospered him, although he prospered himself more, right? But to a point that he cannot remain there. But where would Jacob go? To go further away or to return to the land of Canaan? And he has to be prepared. Esau will be waiting there for him. Yet the voice of God in Padan Aram returned. So Abraham was to go, Isaac was to stay, and this, whatever you call him, is to return. Just imagine Jacob. What sort of he's a calculative man. Should I go back? Is it worth it? Is it worth the risk? He do all contingency plans. Right? Because he was able to do it. Divided the family, some who goes ahead and all that. He stayed behind till the very, very last moment where he has no choice. And he got to struggle with himself at the river. In order to be obedient, he has to face up to all his past, which has come to haunt him. So obedience is not a supernatural thing. It's God's blessing for us to deal with our past, who we are. If not, you cannot be blessing to others. How could Jacob be a blessing with this rascally fella? Even his uncle who took him in. You know what I mean? So he has to go back and to face his real self. This journey cannot just take him away. You know, sometimes we go on journey is just to cover ourselves up. Where we have no courage to face our problems, our true self. You can be successful. You can be great achiever, but you know in the silence of the night, like Jacob by the river, Jabbok. Why God is great? Our God is great enough to allow himself to be defeated by you. You think he cannot? You think Jacob could win in the wrestling match? No way, right? But our God is big enough to lose to you in the wrestling match because he wants you to come to terms with yourself so that you can continue on this journey by faith to be a blessing. So we are building on those history of faith, obedience, responding, seeing, and honor, dealing with oneself. And he came back. Came back. Of course, the story finally goes on to Joseph in verse 22. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, he was comfortable. Number two man. But at the end of his life, you know, it's very interesting. He mentioned only the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Anticlimax, isn't it? His coffin. And yet, you know, the courage to talk about your death, your bones, your coffin is a sign of your faith has that depth. You know, God will be with you. He will bring you out. He will bring your descendants up and he say, bring my bones out with you. But of course, as I say, in Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, it's just one verse, but it telescopes the whole story. Of course, the story of Joseph in the context of book of Genesis, if you're talking about 50 chapters, you're talking about Joseph, you're talking about chapter 37 to 50, you're talking out of proportion, right? Out of proportion. But Joseph, by faith, he has to overcome himself. Give up your right to revenge. He has every right to take revenge on his brothers, right? Because he sold them. He could take advantage of his position as the number two man to benefit himself. We know what's going on here in many parts of the world. And yet he was a good manager, good governor, making sure, you know, when the time of famine, richness passed, they were well stocked, and when people come to Egypt, they came to Joseph, and they could survive. This is by faith. He has to overcome himself. When he saw his brothers face to face, and he made that great statement, you meant evil, but God meant good, and sent me ahead to preserve life. My brothers and sisters, this is what I think, as I'd like to briefly share, that this is a story of faith. So when we use faith, and please, against this, can we really privatize this? Can we make it so material, so to speak? It's just all blessings and all that. And not thinking of who we are, what we are for. And this journey has to continue. As I said, the fact that this, starting from Abraham, it can say, therefore God is not ashamed to be called your God. I pray that this will be our blessing. what we will strive to be. If every one of us is that, we then will truly be the children of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Go on. As the world continues, the journey has to continue. As I say, it will be more and more challenging. I think by the time 6G come onto the scene, I probably will be back, by God's grace, to see him already. So I don't know what 6G. If you have 6G, you can be sure you have 7G, right? The Lord bless you. But make every one of us so that in our faith, our living out of our faith by obedience, by seeing with God's eyes. And even though when we go out, we have not seen the city, but we know there's a city, a foundation, and the designer built it by God. And as we journey with him, he will be with us. And as I said, he's big enough to be defeated by you and I. That's the greatest blessing. And at the end of the day, he can say, I'm not ashamed to be the God of these people. Amen.